Happy New Year! It's January 2025. These things are dated, and we need to date them so that you don't try and enter competition later down the line. But I have got a new competition for you, courtesy of our amazing sponsors at Innovate. You know what they say? New year, new shoes. But only if you need the shoes, if you don't need the shoes, or if you can fix your old shoes before you get new shoes, then please do that. Trail Talons, they're the greatest shoes ever made. I wore these for the Winter Downs 200, and Innovate are giving you the opportunity to win a pair simply by clicking on the link in our bio for the competition. The Trail Talon is an ideal shoe for training or racing on soft ground and mixed terrain. It covers rocks, it covers that slidey grass people fall over on, water, mud, all of it. They're absolutely incredible shoes. Graphene enhanced outsole for grip on any surface, and they're available in a standard or wide fit. So enter the competition to win a pair, or if you need any other bits of kit, or you just want to go, do you know what, I'm just going to buy a pair of them, head to the Innovate website and use our code, also on the Instagram page, for a delightful 15% off. This is a grown-up podcast for grown-up people, and it does have some accidental swearing and some adult themes that you might have to explain to your children should you play this in the car on the school run. I wouldn't advise that you do that. On with the pod! Welcome to episode 6 of the Running Won't Save Podcasts. Episode 6, season 1. Still not very good at this. With me, Ali Bailey, and my co-host... I thought some quite good puns, but I'm not going to use any of them. I'm just going to say Damien Hall.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
I'm great. We've had a fresh blanket of snow here down in the Wiltshire Alps, and I got up early and did a workout in the snow, which is fairly unusual down here. So that was really exciting, in the dark, in the snow.
Is it snow or is it just like a millimetre of snow?
It's snow.
It's snow joke. How much snow is it?
Enough for some Coldplay. I can show you briefly my massive garden.
No, that isn't snow. Oh my God, listen, no, that's like, it's like someone's got a, what is it? Like one of those really chic foam cans and just squirted in your garden. Like a squirty cream can.
Northern snobbery. You haven't got snow. Listener, Ali hasn't got snow in the north. In the tough south, we've got snow.
We had it bad. We had it on Monday. What day was it? Today's Tuesday. We had it on Sunday. It was epic. It was deep.
Yeah.
It was like,
it's in the past. It's all about now. It's gone now.
It's turned that colour that I like to call, that brown colour I like to call disappointing Christmas, like that sludgy brown colour.
We've got snow and it's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Beyond brutal.
Is it? Was your race, your run this morning beyond brutal?
Yep.
Brilliant. It's spine week, everyone. So if you're listening to this in real time, it's spine week. That means that on Saturday, when you're listening, it'll be the start of the Challenger South, the Challenger North. Sprint on Saturday as well. Was that on Sunday? Mr. Know-it-all.
I think it's Saturday.
And then the big, big, brutal bimble bash takes place on Sunday. Starts on Sunday, doesn't it? Way! So we thought we would do a little bit of... we thought we'd come off piste. There's so many snow jokes, and do a little bit of a preview for you, because you can start dog watching from tomorrow. So that's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think Damien's actually just desperately trying to go through the roster to see who is running the.
I already did that because I did some research. I was double checking the sprint, and it does start Saturday at 12 o'clock.
Oh, 12 o'clock. Gross. It's not very long, is it? I mean, it is quite long. It's 40 odd miles, but it's still 12 o'clock is a bit of a brutal start. So this year, 2025, we've got probably the most competitive women's field I've ever seen. It's both competitive and glorious. I don't actually know how many women there are, because I haven't gone through the list and counted them, because it doesn't do that on the spine roster. You can't just separate it out into male and female. But we have got a stellar cast of especially British female ultra runners taking part, and to be honest with you, I think that the race is anyone's looking at these people. Do you want to talk about them, Damien? Do you want to talk about the women first?
I mean, from a he races perspective, no, but if you're gonna force me,
should we start with Robin Cassidy, Dragon's Back winner, Lakeland 100 winner from this year? She's Incredible. You've actually done a little bit of light touch coaching with her, I believe.
Yeah, I mean Robin's a real talent, especially at the 100 mile distance, and a great character in our sport. But this is, yeah, a new distance for her. But I mean, if she doesn't get it sort of right this time, I think she will
But
another
do
time.
you
She
think she'll get it right this time, Damien? Do you?
I think she could do very, very well. I think she could do very, very well. A bit like you, discussing some of these people, some of them are friends or people we have other relationships with. So it's very tricky. But Robin is one of our most talented runners in the country. I would say, I mean, I hope she doesn't mind me. Well, she'll be running, so she can't listen, hopefully.
She can't do anything. There's nothing
I
she can
mean, I
do.
would always favour with the spine and 200 mile races in general. I'm always going to slightly favour people who have already done the race. So the favourite for me is Hannah Rickman. She's done it twice and placed second twice. So there's a huge amount of knowledge and experience there for her to call upon. And then Elaine Bisson has also placed second at the race and completed it another time. So Elaine knows the race really well. And then also Lucy Gossage, third last time, but very close to Hannah. There was a controversial element to that, in that Hannah was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Hannah was awarded like a time,
Yeah, some time for helping someone. She
yes,
stopped to help someone, yeah.
and Lucy didn't know about that till the finish, which was is a slightly awkward thing.
How do you
But
tell them
they
that? Do you send a messenger with like a little scroll to
well,
catch up with them and tell
when
them?
Jack did that massive cheating on me in 2023, they told me at the checkpoint, and I believe Lucy, in theory, could have been told at Burness. In theory, I'm not meaning to criticize the race as such, because I've got many friends who work on it, and actually, yeah, me and you do some work for the race. So, but I think that could have been handled better.
I don't like being told where I am in a race. I hate it, and I don't want people to tell me. I told you that, and I've told lots of people that. So I think it would annoy me if they did say that to me. I think it would make me stressed.
That is fair enough, but I think if you're right at the sharp end, I think you deserve to be told those things. You should be given that information, unless
Well, this is the thing. Every time I've been given that information, I've been at the sharp end and I haven't wanted that information. It's put me off my thing. I think you should be able to opt out.
what they should say to you, do you want, I suppose then they should say to you, do you want updated information on
Exactly. I think
competitive
they should
playing
say to
field?
you, do you
Do you
want
want it or
updated
not?
information?
Yeah,
And that's not
and I
just the
think,
spine, that's every race, because it fucked well, it didn't fuck my wild horse, but I didn't want that information at Wild Horse, and it was given to me at the first checkpoint, and it really like gave me a bit of a brain freeze, made me feel horrible. Just because I didn't want to be competitive. But and the same at this at the last one, I didn't want you telling me, did I? So yeah.
yeah, but people should be given the option. I think I don't want to speak for Lucy, but I think she would have liked to have known. And certainly in my scenario, when I was racing with Jack, and a lot had changed, while I'd slept, I was very glad I got that information, and I feel like I should have had it. But let's not dwell too much on that. I think, yeah, for me, Hannah Rickman is the favourite, with Elaine and Lucy Gossage as sort of second favourites, because they've
What
obviously been
about
before.
how whoa 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 there, Nelly? What about the Sarah Perry?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Sarah can do. Me and you are big Sarah
We're big
Perry
fans of
fans.
Sarah Perry. Huge
Yes.
fan, I'd say. Southwest
Yes.
Coast Path, faster than time on her own, just went off and did it by herself. Won 13 Valleys this year, off his Dyke, King of his Dyke race record holder, backyard ultra champion. Off to represent Team GB in America next year. She just doesn't stop. She's an absolute machine. But the thing is, she's an absolute machine, and she looks like the epitome of calm as she's doing it.
Yeah, she's absolutely phenomenal. And again, a bit like Robin, I think if she doesn't nail this one, well, she's already nailing big races. I couldn't help thinking, I wonder for both those athletes, they'll go, yeah, I think one day they'll have an extraordinary spine run if it's their sort of thing. So I think Sarah's, yeah, in the conversation,
She is the
literally. We're
problem.
discussing
One
it.
of the things that, I mean, Sarah's been quite vocal to me about this is the bloody pack, because Sarah's little. She's a very small, framed ninja. And so, and she has to carry the same amount as everybody else. And so I think that could be a problem. And the other thing, and Laura Swansea Revellin's back, and she's done this race before as well, won the Winterdowns 200. She's won a number of Centurion races, the Hardmores 200. She's a really good runner, but she sometimes has problems with her back, and so the pack is a problem. What's your thoughts about women? And this is actually quite interesting, having to carry the same weight as men in the pack. I mean, weight wise, it's up to you what you buy, isn't it? But they still have to carry the same kit. But do you think there is a space there for a conversation about how much you weigh versus how much the kit weighs? Watch what you say here. Be very careful.
There's the whole gender thing, and there's the whole I've got some strong opinions on the kit list. I think it's wrong in several ways. I find the kit list really frustrating. I'll just be honest and try not to think that I work with the race at times.
Hey man, look, we work with the race. We love the race. They're amazing. But there's not one person on earth that goes, this is a really good kit list. I'm so glad they've included 15 meters of KT tape. There's so many questions about the kit list. It's a lot of kit.
So it's excessive in several ways. It's really expensive for people. It's a lot of things to carry. It's a lot of weight. It's a problem in terms of weight for people to carry. It's a problem in terms of cost. It's a disadvantage to smaller people who, I know two previous female winners who will not do the race again because of the kit. And I know a very strong male athlete who won't do the race because of the kit.
Are you talking about yourself again?
And there are other aspects to it as well. Definitely some of it is excessive and unnecessary. I've got other gripes, such as it doesn't get, well, this year it got updated in what, November? So a lot of people already had all their kit. It was all, they've been practicing with it. They've perhaps spread the expense through the year, and then suddenly the kit gets updated in November to, the waterproof jacket. Actually, the waterproof jacket has to be like this. So that, people have wasted hundreds of pounds potentially. So I think that could be a lot more professional. And then there's just loads of excessive items that aren't needed, could just be recommended or optional or in your drop bag. So they're weighing people down, they're keeping them out there longer, it's more likely to cause injury. People are less safe on the hill, in my mind, because they can't move as fast to get away from, bad weather and so on. So there are lots of, and also from an environment perspective, people are buying kit they're probably not going to use. A lot, various items of my kit just stay in a cupboard all year round, get them out for the spine, put them back in the cupboard. I've got various gripes, and so have lots of other athletes.
It's actually harder for girl for the female athletes as well, because we've got to put things in like our nail varnish, our hair straighteners, brushes, perfumes, a few different pairs of shoes. We have to have matching kit. So for us, it's actually hard. It's more brutal.
Well, I didn't like to say, but yes, it is potentially a disadvantage on female athletes.
Your
Yeah.
face. His face is being like, don't get cancelled, don't get cancelled.
So yeah, it is, yeah. And then if you're smaller, I remember having an yeah, even yeah, there's the it
Even
is
what?
well no, I mean I was just going back to no, that I do agree with you. I reluctantly agree with you about the weight issue. Like a smaller athlete still has to carry, yeah, the same weight really as a bigger athlete, and it's not going to affect them so much. Yeah, it's tough enough already. Two other ath yeah, another athlete we haven't mentioned is Mel Sykes, who's
Oh God, I love Mel Sykes.
we're big Mel Sykes fans.
We're big fans of all of them, but Mel Sykes is a treat of a human being, isn't she? Because she just fucking says it like it is, and I love her.
And she's done very well. She's won the summer spine in the past, and she's just very tough, very very to the point, very matter of fact. So how many have we mentioned? We got at least seven. I had seven on my list, seven.
Oh, Victoria Morris. So she did. She's come third at Dragon's Back. She's a little bit of a. She's quite quiet on the old social medias, but she's a good runner. She's a very good runner. So that would be quite exciting. And there's some other women in there that I've not had the chance to research. But what would be interesting is if someone just came out of nowhere. Love that. But I think with a team that strong, that's not going to happen. I wonder what will happen at the start. I wonder if they'll all go off together, or if they'll do a a silly man train like you lot did, or if they'll actually just be grown ups and pace themselves properly.
Women are politer, right? So they'll just say after you, after you, after you, and they'll
We
just
are,
be very
they are
considerate.
fair.
They
Yeah, they'll
open
probably
the gate to each
start the
other.
back. Start the
Can I
back.
carry that for you?
Having said that, right, on the summer, I went up the hill to Jacob. I was going up the hill to Jacob's van, and Mel Sykes was trying to take her jacket off. And I went, oh, do you want me to hold your bag while you do that for you? I literally did that. So we are polite.
Wow. So they won't even be really be racing, will they? They'll just
Probably just chatting, skipping, I imagine, holding hands, looking at the
swimming
animals.
in green teas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just one big party, really. Women aren't competitive, right?
Nope. In all seriousness, it's going to be it's a really interesting thing to watch. What's the men's race going to be like, Damien?
Well,
Sparse.
it will be fascinating. Well, just back on that, it will be fascinating to see. We discussed ego last time around. I mean, I had to discuss ego because I'm a man. I've got a bigger ego. It will be interesting to see if it plays out like the men's race last time. If the women's race plays out like the men's ties race, if that makes sense, it will be fascinating to see.
We've got a WhatsApp group, me and all of these women. We're all in the WhatsApp group together because we all went, apart from Elaine and Victoria, because we all went and did that recce. And actually, it's all very nice. It's so nice. Everyone's so nice, and everyone's like talking about like oh, we've all got the kit faff and this, that, and the other, and there isn't any like barbedness in any of it. There's no smack talk. There's none of that. I think it will. And also, Will Roberts, the head of the Swire Media team, wrote a really nice article about the recce that we just went on and talked about he interviewed all the girls and he talked about why we were out running together. And there's a really good quote from it, which I think is something along the lines of, when we stand at the start line, it's not us versus each other, it's us versus the spine race, which I think is amazing and not the sort of thing you're going to read when you read a preview of the men's race. I honestly do believe that. I think there will be a very, very much a force of nature in all of those women for the first half, maybe two thirds of the race. And that's when it will start to become obvious what's going to happen. I feel like that's what we're going to see. But then maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've never seen a field like this before. So it's anybody's guess what's going to happen, isn't it?
It is really so exciting. I honestly don't think in a British race we've had such a strong female competitive field, even at a 50 mile or a 100 miler. So it does feel somewhat historical. But go on, who's your money on?
Can't tell you that
Come on.
because they're my friends. I can't, but I know who my money's up on. I've got an envelope with the name in it.
All right. Well, I'm going Hannah Rickman.
Oh, but you can't. Have you got top three? Have you got top three? Go on then.
I think Hannah, then Lucy, then Elaine.
Do you? I think Sarah's going to be top three.
I just think people who've done it before have an advantage. I know that sounds
I
obvious,
think
but
Sarah's got so much experience in doing other stuff that's really, really long and not stopping. Her admin is on spec. Like doing those backyards on your own, you have to have incredible admin because you've got seconds to like get in and out again. So whilst people might think that they're silly, roundy, roundy races, actually they're the most difficult thing you can do mentally. And I think having watched her run, Sarah runs at night she's like some sort of mad, like night nymph. She just comes alive at night and just goes. And on the recces, that's what she was doing. The sun would go down, she'd gone, she vanished. Like it was pretty amazing. So I think that do not underestimate her. Like she has got plenty of tricks up her sleeve, and she is relentless. She's fucking relentless. She's so strong.
also, as soon as I said that, I was rethinking it. So I think Robin is going to be in the top three.
Well, they can't all be in the top three. So who's top three?
Let's move on to the men.
Robin is running with her partner Simon together, aren't they? Cute. Holding hands. That's what they're doing, isn't it?
That would be interesting. Yeah, that would be interesting.
How's Simon about that? Holding hands for the first 100 miles.
So on to the real race, the proper one. With the mailmen. So my tea dodging pal from across the pond, John Kelly, is back, mostly because me and Jack beat his time twice, both
Have
of them.
you read his kit list?
supplied him with plenty of information to improve his kit list.
He
So I'm
publishes kit lists. He publishes kit lists yesterday on Instagram, and it is. And I got at least three WhatsApps from men who were basically like, "Whoa, have you seen this? It's got the actual grams in it." And it's this fucking kit list that is like a spreadsheet that is multicolored, and it's what he used last time versus what he used this time with the grams of everything and how many less grams of stuff it is. And it's very, very detailed. And it's quite a thing
Well,
to put out into the world, to be honest with you.
John doesn't listen to podcasts, so I can happily say I was very surprised by how big his pack was last year.
Were
He's got
you? You're
lower.
very, when did you see the size of his pack? Was it at the beginning of the race, or was it the middle? Was it when you were
Well, I
sleeping
only saw him for
together?
a little while at the beginning of the race. I was surprised how big it was. The pack. We're talking about the pack. So I did encourage him to yeah, he's usually very thorough with research, but had some unnecessarily heavy items. But so yes, he's gone away and improved that. It does make a difference. You mock my gram counting, and although I put a hole in your back at Winter Downs 200, we have ascertained that the cup that I replaced in your pack was half the weight of the
We
other cup.
haven't ascertained that. We haven't,
Hence
because
your podium placing.
you googled a cup that looked a bit similar that was a few grams heavier.
You didn't even know the weight of your cup.
I don't give a shit how much my cup weighs. As long as it works and doesn't make a hole in my back, I'm pretty much all right, to be honest with you. And I actually think
It's
that
remember.
my podium at the Winter Downs had more to do with the fact that I ate 78,000 calories worth of food rather than the cup.
Listener, I'm shaking my head
But you
because
also made me carry a tiny stone squirrel in my bag as a charm. That was weighing me down.
when you had the previous cup, you were not on the podium. When I switched the cups, you moved into the podium. I think that is science.
Didn't I
Like,
take the cup out? I'm sure I took the cup out. I was like, I don't want this fucking cup. It's digging into my back, and put my old
I
cup
just
back
moved it
in.
around. I moved it around.
Right. Okay. Right. There's a number of things you gave me. You gave me an iPod Shuffle, which obviously weighs about a kilogram. Carry around with me and
Science
a few other things.
has shown that music is helpful. Anyway, the men's race, the important one. So our good pal John is back. He will probably win.
Oh, that's a big statement, isn't it?
Well, he's won it before, and he's improved his kit. He's got a lighter bag, and basically whoever's got the lightest bag wins, unless they're Eugenie. So I think the two people, the British listener might not be aware of, who I predict to be on the podium or close to the podium, is Tiaan Erwe, who is South African, who's won the Summer Spine. He's done very well at Tour de Géant and Tour de Glaciers, so he's an excellent athlete at sort of 200-mile distances. We expect him to do very well. His Summer Spine time was really fast, and he's tried the winter one before. I can't remember if finished or not, but he didn't have a great time. But he's got that experience. So I would expect him to be on the podium or close to it. The other dark horse is Max Moberg from Finland, who I ran parts of Tour de Géant with, and he was he's ex Special Forces. I don't know if I meant to say that.
Oh yes, I love a
But
special forces. I'm going to have a chat with him about
and
stuff because
he's
me, I'm special forces too. Oops.
you're definitely special. So Max, yeah, he's very good, and he's done well at the tour, and he lives in Finland. He might be a bit disappointed with our level of snow, but he's very experienced, and he was peppering me with questions about the spine in the summer. So I would expect him to do well. And then you've got the next three runners have all done the spine before, but are a bit, I don't mean this to sound disrespectful, but a bit DNF-y.
Oh, I'll tell you know that people are going to listen to this podcast,
Oh shit.
don't you?
Well,
Excuse me.
my great friend Kim Collison is in the conversation. He's started the last three spines. He's not finished them. But people might not be aware what an extraordinary athlete he is. He's been in the GB trail running team. I think three times. He set records on the Bob Graham, the Paddy Buckley, the Scottish Munros record. He's an absolute, nicest. Well, I've nicknamed him the Smiley Assassin, because he sort of grins as he's
Stabbing you to death.
on you. Yes, that's what it feels like.
Didn't wasn't he there when you hurt your little groinie? Didn't he have to like
No,
rub it? rub it better and take some medical tent or something.
He didn't rub my groin better. I'm still annoyed that he wouldn't help
I
me in that
feel like he
regard.
was there. I feel like it had something to do with him.
Yeah, he was racing that year, but he'd dropped out. So he part of the reason, Kim, I don't want to say too much because it's personal medical stuff, but part of the reason Kim did have a sort of medical hereditary medical issue that he's taking medication for that has led to some of those DNFs. So they're not necessarily sort of mental mishaps. And the last year he conquered that and was really, really happy with how it's going, but then he did get an injury. So yeah, one year Kim is going to get it right. We love Kim, or I love Kim.
Who'd you love more, John or Kim?
Kim.
Oh, that's going to be
I mean,
awkward at
he drinks
dinner on
tea.
Friday
Ultimately,
night.
he drinks tea. He drinks tea. Oh, John won't listen to this. You won't tell him, will you?
Don't know. Like I said, could be awkward at dinner on Friday night. Who else? Kim's great. Also, Kim is Hannah and Laura's coach. Do you reckon
Yes.
that Hannah and Kim will run together for a bit? Because that seems to be like a bit of a team. That could be a good team, couldn't it?
If it's a real question, no, definitely will. As much as next on my list, yeah, Simon Roberts probably won't actually run with Robin, although it'd be an interesting one. Yeah, Simon Roberts has been very successful at the Dragon's Back race, but hasn't really nailed the sort of 200-mile distance yet. He has completed the Spine before, but he's definitely an interesting one to watch. And then someone else to put in that category of a bit sort of could be, could go either way is our good friend Eugenie Rosello, who's been there every single year except the very first one. And he won the second one back in the day. But
That because everybody else died. Oh, there was only five people doing it. Sorry, Eugenie.
no comment. He's, yeah, I mean, the truth is with Eugenie, fantastic character, comes every year, doesn't usually get to the end. But he is a very fast runner, and you kind of think, well, maybe one year he'll get it right. But let's see. And then, yeah, I've got another five athletes here who I
Five?
could.
Oh, right. You've done a lot of research on the men, haven't you? The women, you've just gone through my WhatsApp people, that photo that I've got on my wall of them all in the fucking hall instead of be like tick, tick, tick. Right, men.
Now we've got the preamble out of the way. Yeah, I've got another five men who have all, done well before, or I could imagine being third, fourth, fifth, which is Dougie Zinnis, James Leversley, Rory Harris. So that all those three have finished very strongly in the spine before, sort of third, fourth, fifth type places. We also have Dave Phillips returning, I believe.
Oh, I love Dave Phillips.
He's on the start list. So Dave isn't as well known as he should be. He won the Northern Traverse. He's got the record for the Southwest Coast Path. He did start the spine in shorts last year. I've only seen two people do that, and neither have finished. But he's undoubtedly very good at the long stuff. He's a good friend of Mark Derbyshire. I've only fleetingly met Dave myself during the race, but I think he's another one who, if he doesn't get it right this time, he'll get it. He'll do it well sometime. And lastly, a bit of a dark horse is Sam Skinner, who's just, yeah, he did well at Winter Downs 200 last time. And I know he's been out recce, he's been asking me questions. I've run on the hill with him a bit, so I know he's strong. So I think he'll, again, he's learning, he's fairly new to it all, but I could see him doing pretty well. So it's going to be really interesting.
Isn't it? Questions. One, if there is something that you could be consistent at on the spine in order to finish it, what is that thing? What is the number one thing to be consistent at on that race to finish?
I think normally it's I normally for a big race I think of three things. It's your pacing, your fueling, and your mindset. I think the obvious thing with fueling is, it's got to keep going in something every hour. For a shorter race, I'd say, it's that classic 60 to 90 grams of carbohydrate an hour. Probably the more the better for most people. obviously practice it in your training, etc. And we want to be consistent with that. With the spine, because it's so long, you're out for 4, 5, 6, even 7 days. It does get hard to keep the fueling going in. I just tell my athletes get something in every hour.
Well,
And
every hour still.
yeah.
Like have a big old munch and then like have like a big old munch and then like leave it a few hours.
No, get something every hour. Because then it
Wow.
becomes a habit, it's part of a routine. And it might just be half a bar or something, but just keep the habit, keep the routine, keep food going in. Because yeah, once you get underfueled, you make less good decisions because your brain isn't getting the calories it needs. It takes 20% of those calories you put in go to your brain, so you're less motivated, you're making less good decisions. And on the spine, less good decisions means not putting the extra layer on, or making a navigation mistake. And that, slows you down, and you can get into a downward spiral from that. So I think fueling's critical. Pacing is a bit of a tricky one for things like the spine. I think there are going to be times where you feel good and you're motoring along, and there are going to be times where you feel less good and you're probably not as efficient, you're not moving so well. So consistency is tricky there.
But also, your pace is sort of dictated by the terrain, isn't it? Like, you get to Blenkinsop and you ain't dropping 7 minute miles over that, are you?
Absolutely. No, good point. And you're fueling as well. If you've underfueled, you're probably not pacing so well. So they do feed off each other. And then.
Mindset, Damien. You never talk about mindset because you're always just like, you're just always having a nice time.
Yes. Well, you're the mindset person. What, how would
I've not
you,
done
how would
spine, so.
you? Well, I would say, think of your why beforehand, write it down somewhere, even draw a picture of it. Have a reminder.
What did your picture look like? Was it John Kelly with daggers in him? Was it a little coffin with Jack Scott RIP written on it? What was it? Why? What did it look like, the drawing?
You have to keep mentioning those two people. Actually, my kids, I encourage all my athletes to have a checkpoint checklist, and my kids draw squirrels on it. And that's kind of so when I get to the checkpoint, I think of them. And also, it annoys Nikki Ligo who's the checkpoint lead, because she hates squirrels. I'm just putting it out there. She's a squirrel hater, everyone.
What?
So if you want
She's
to, yeah,
what?
draw pictures of squirrels all over your kit. Actually, don't, your kit bag, your drop bag might go
What about
missing.
if you went in there with a little squirrel tail on, like your friend Ben
Oh,
did? That was a
yes.
fox tail, but
Who knows? You just need to,
I
if
would
we get
love someone
little.
to walk into her checkpoint. Where is she based?
Actually, I don't know. I'll try and find that out.
Because if someone could get a giant squirrel costume in the middle of the night and just walk into that checkpoint in it, it would be what? In fact, as a media team, I'm going to arrange that and film it. I just want to see what happens.
Brilliant. Okay, so yeah, lots of squirrel costumes, everyone. There's still just about time. No, there isn't by the time this comes
No, it'll
out.
keep you warm. It's fine to put something new on before race day. It's going to be cold, so you might as well wear a squirrel costume. I can't see what the problem is.
Excellent. But yeah, people should think of their own why and get some sort of reminder of it. Another thing is, yeah, when I do things like this, I do feel like I'm representing the Green Runners and so on. So I try and have my badge to remind myself that's important to me. So mindset is really important. And then also it's just remembering, I think it can be quite easy to forget that you wanted to do the spine. Like, you could spend a lot of time thinking, I want this to be over, and actually remember you've spent half, you paid a lot of money for it, you signed up for it, you wanted to do it for years. You've been looking forward, or at least thinking of it a lot, and
You've
then
been
you
looking
get to it.
sideways at it, not forward. You're always looking sideways at the spine. You're never looking forward to it. Bit like that.
No? Okay.
No.
Oh, well.
Like, I
What
went
would
out last night or the night before last, and it'd been raining, it's snowing all day, and then it started to rain. And so it was turning into that brown sludge, and it was turning into disappointing Christmas colour. And I thought to myself, and it was windy, and I thought to myself, yeah, if I was up in the on the Pennine Way and it was this, so the snow was melting, it was very, very cold and wet, it was raining, spiky cold rain, it was windy, and I've been out in it all day, yeah, that's spine weather, isn't it? That's why you look at it sideways, like, fucking hell. It's all well and good joking about it, but really, if you get weather like that for 3 or 4 days, it's hard.
Yeah, but that's what people wanted. People signed up for the spine, for a winter adventure, right? And then you get, and it starts to rain on them or get a bit windy, and they don't want to be there anymore. I think they've got to remember that that's what they wanted. They wanted to get at the get to the end and have the have stories from it. And remember, it is, as we discussed before, the joy is in the doing, not the medal at the end. The joy is thinking back to actually doing it. And so I think that can get lost when you get tired and your feet hurt and it's dark and muddy and you just ran into a cow, like my good friend Tim Laney did on his spine. You can kind of forget, and I'm not promising I'm skipping along full of joy every single minute, but it's easy to forget that this is what you wanted to do when you signed up for it and you wanted an adventure. And I would just remind people of that and the
If people
joy
were
that
listening to this now on their spine, because they will be, they'll be listening to this right now. Oh, John would have just fucking put the hammer down. All of your nemeses will have put the hammer down with your goading of them. What would your bit of advice be for someone that's listening to this right now, who's on the spine?
Well, firstly, I'm really jealous of you doing this. You'll possibly be thinking, I want to get to the end. I want it to be over. But honestly, there are loads of people watching your dot thinking, damn, I wish I was out there. So yeah, try and be present. Try and, enjoy the present moment and enjoy the act of doing it. And getting to the end will feel great, but you'll probably be really nostalgic for being out there on the hill in that weather, in that brown slushy stuff.
Disappointing Christmas. Okay, that was good. I hope that anyone who's taking part is having a nice time. I will be seeing you out there. Damien will probably be seeing you out there as well, because we are going to be helping Will with some capture some content, I think is the words that they use, the young people, isn't it? Capture some,
Content. Are you a content? Are you a content creator?
you're going to be, because you're in charge of the TikTok channel. Did you not know?
TokTik. Oh, I
Yeah,
love a bit of
Damien, can
TokTik.
you imagine if
All
Damien was in
over
charge
it.
of TikTok? Fucking hell.
Love a bit of
So
TokTik. One more thing.
yeah.
Sorry. One more
Oh,
thing.
okay, go on.
There's a phrase I totally nicked off, I think, Sharon Gater, who's an exceptional athlete in her own right. But yeah, be bothered is really good spine advice, which is just, yeah, be bothered to put the extra gloves on, be bothered to have the snack, be bothered to, zoom in on your map. On your watch, yeah, be bothered is a really good mantra for the race. Oh, and then the two other ones that we discussed on our training weekend were, yeah, Hannah Rickman's Laugh or Quit, and I think the race is best summed up. The best summary I've ever heard of it was from Beth Pascal when we ran it together in 2015, and at the end she said it was awful but amazing, and that is what it's like. So have fun, everyone.
Also, just a massive thank you to all of the safety team volunteers and people that are giving up their entire week. And it is an entire week. In fact, it's more than that. It's about 10 days to go and support those runners, because without that safety team and without those volunteers, this just simply would not be able to take place. So massive thanks to everybody that's doing that. They're working day and night. They're doing shifts. They're normal people who are going to be doing 7 day night shifts, standing in the fucking freezing cold on the Cheviots waiting for people to come past. So just spare a thought for them, because they ain't going to get no medals at the end. And massive thanks to them. And also shout out to Matt Neal, who is one of the friends of our friends, G-Law and Basil. G-Law, don't fuck it up. Basil, I hope you're having a nice time. Matt, it's not soft or southern. Okay. Question about the spine quickly. I had a message from a female athlete who said that, in
Is it
fact, I
worth
will read
bothering
you it.
with?
Pardon?
Is it worth bothering with if it's a female athlete?
Yeah, she says, what happens if I get my period? No, she doesn't say that. She says, this is quite interesting, and it hasn't come through to the pod, but it has come through to my mobile phone. Basically, I'm just trying to find the actual message because it was worded quite well. Here we go. She says, I'm going to keep her anonymous. It would be great if the spine also prioritised getting more normal women on the start line. This was in response to the post I put up about the elites. So it would be great if they also prioritised getting more normal women on the start line, not just the elites. I tried to enter, I was at work on bad Wi-Fi, and it sold out in a minute as I was diligently trying to fill out my experience, which I felt qualified me to enter. It pissed me off a bit. Even more so as a week after that, there were lots of blokes in the Facebook group giving out advice about kit. I have the kit. I've used the kit in races and other adventures, and I waited till I thought I was ready to enter. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do think putting my he races hat down for a minute.
Wow. When
Yeah,
you take that he races hat off, you really are receding. Is that why you wear it? that why you wear it?
I'm going to put it back on. If you're going to be cruel with
Put it back on.
your feminine cruelty.
Put it back on. Oh, loads of hair. My hair's falling out in the shower. Clumps of it. It's a nightmare.
I hope it never grows back.
Oh.
Because that's what happens to me. Yeah, you want equality. I don't think you have either, yeah, looked at the sort of gender balance of the spine start list. Yeah, you want people to have an equal chance.
Do you
I don't
think
know.
that they should ring fence a certain amount of entries for women?
Yeah, I
Do
do.
you? Do you not think that'll
Yeah.
cause a problem?
Well, it can cause a problem. I've heard other race directors say, I forgot what She Races policy is. They try and do a fi encourage races to go 50-50, right?
Yeah, but I think was honestly, like, as a woman, a female woman, I can only speak for myself, and I will always only speak for myself. But it's taken me a long time to go, oh, I might do that, and every day I have a different wobble of, oh, I might do that. It's cold, wet, windy, but I will enter it. I will go, and I will. What the day it start, I will enter it, right? And even if I know that if I get on the wait list, I'll probably get in, right? Because lots of people enter it when they're pissed or whatever, and or get in and go, oh fuck, I don't want to do that. But as a woman, I just don't think there are as many women that want to do the spine as there are men. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. And one of those reasons is confidence. And it's like this person goes on to say that they waited until they were ready. I've done the same. I've waited until I was ready to do the spine. So I've got done the south. I would have done the north. I would have recce'd the route probably, well, within those races once. And then again by myself twice. I've done the Winter Downs 200, I've done the World Horse 200. I'll be doing other stuff like that I think makes me ready. Whereas I think men will just enter. Without any like, oh fuck it, I'll just enter. Fuck it, you know, fuck about, find out, whatever. Like, and women don't do that, so I think that's the difference. But also, there just aren't as many women who want to do that race as there are men. I just don't think there are. I think that might be me just passing my opinion, but I don't think there are.
Yeah, so I think a 50-50 thing wouldn't work for the on the spine. And I've heard a race director say, like, for a popular race, if you say, right, you say only 50% of entries can be male, but you've got, three times as many men want those places, and then you hold up the other half of the race and only 10% of it gets filled. Like, I can see how that commercially.
It's suicide. You can't do it. You can't run the
Yeah,
race.
yeah. So 50-50 might not be a realistic thing to
Maybe
do,
it's a case
but
of
there
ring
might be another.
fencing for women for, I don't know, 48 hours. We'll ring fence 50% of the entries for women for 48 hours. The other problem I think that people might face is people entering and identifying as women and that sort of thing. If it's a race like the spine where people really, 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 really want a place, it's very competitive, and that's another thing to worry about. But I will make a suggestion to the race organizer, and I've told this person to make a suggestion to the race organizer. But I don't think that, you know, I think it's everybody has an equal chance at getting in. I know that they do give out some places for the faster people because it's a competitive race and they will always do that, right? Do you get invited back if you come top three?
I think that elite runners do have, with most races, do have an easier entry process. I think some of that is kind of private, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the policy is, but I know, yeah, if you've previously won the race or had the course record, with most races, you would have easier access to return. Yes.
I know for a fact that the women that I was running with at the weekend, sorry, the Pennines, that not all of them were given places. They actually applied like normal people. So that's, and I know that because they had to fill in the forms and all that sort of stuff and pay for it as well. So yeah, it's not all the elites. And also, you know, I think describing some of those women as elite, you know, they've all got jobs. None of them are full-time athletes. Remember that. And there's very few full-time fucking athletes. In fact, I don't think there's any full-time athletes taking place in the spine. So it's an interesting thing. The other thing is, if you, and this, I did say this to this person, if you write down all your experience and everything first in a Word document, when you get to do the, have to fill in the form, you can just cut and paste it straight in. That does save you time. Is it really like Glastonbury? Is it that hard to get in?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake. Maybe I won't have to
But
do
the
it.
wait list really does move. So if you're on the wait list and you're, I think, well, at least sort of top 30-ish, you've still got a pretty good chance, because for various reasons, people, when it comes to the second payment, lots of people don't make it, whether it's injury or, like you say, realizing they were drunk or and things like that.
Realizing they were drunk. Cool. All right then, that's great. Good luck, everybody. Have a nice time. Sorry, it's been quite spine heavy on this today. But I have got a couple of questions that I will throw at Damien Hall. Oh, and also the announcement. There's an announcement at the end of the podcast about who our special interviewee guest is. So stay tuned for that, everybody, for the next 20 minutes. This is from Donna P. She says, "Hi, really enjoying the new podcast, apart from the episodes with Damien, because he doesn't appear to know what he's talking about. I've decided that this year I'm going to run the West Highland Way for 3.5 days solo with hostels booked. Kirsty mentioned doing the Great Lakeland 3 day this year, which I did last year, but I would love some advice on training for multi-day runs." Damien Hall.
Yeah, good question. I don't think training would be all that different to if you're training for a 100 miler, probably. I would at some point do 3 days in a row that were reasonably heavy, and then have a rest, then have a rest day. I don't I, like I'm following Coach Roach's idea here, but never more than three sort of challenging days in a row. That fourth day would always be, as a big training principle, that fourth day would always be either a full rest day or a very light day, you know, kind of 5 or 6 miles easy. But we could stack up 3 days in a row. Obviously, the week before or in the weeks beforehand, you'd probably do 2 days that were demanding. I guess I'm talking about, I don't know, let's just say, well, two long runs, that they might be 18 miles and 14 miles. They don't have to be 30 and 20. That's really pushing it. So for a lot of people, oh, there's a little robin in my garden in the snow.
Do you know what a robin means? That's a dead person come to visit you.
Or does it mean Robin Cassidy is going to win the spine race? One or the other.
Should I call this podcast "Robin Cassidy is going to win the spine race"? Can you imagine the horror when that pops up on your
Or
fucking
die.
thing on the Saturday morning before the spine?
So for a person doing a multi-day, I would, for training wise, yeah, at one point, at peak training, 3 to 4 weeks out, I would encourage them to do something like maybe 20 miles, 20, 22 miles, then sort of maybe 16, 18 miles, then sort of 12, 14 miles, and then a full rest day. Fueling well and sleeping well in between, fueling on the runs well, and probably carrying most of the same kit they might have to carry in the race. And I don't think it needs to be much more complicated than that, really. And obviously, you're trying to mirror the terrain as much as possible as well.
Now, West Highland Way is 100 miles long. It's quite tough. People seem to think it's easy. I think people think it's easier than it is, but it's not. It's a little tough bastard. And there's all these little weird bits that go along the side of locks that you think is going to be flat, and they're not. They're really high and muddy and steep. But I tell you what, there is Donna Heath. There's lots of youth hostels, and there's also companies that will take your bag. They literally do it all the time. So they'll literally drive your drop bag from hostel to hostel. And I would use that because that just makes your life a lot easier. And if you're going on an adventure, you want to be warm and dry and everything like that and have all your food with you. So do that. It's a great thing to do. It's going to be fun. I'm kind of jealous. Maybe I'll come with you. Me and Kirsty are going to go on an adventure, a 3 day adventure. We don't know where yet. It's exciting. You had a question about 8 years.
8 years ago, we had this question from Robin.
Not your Robin. So many Robins. So much Robin going on today.
Did you just... Rob, no, I'm trying to work out a stealing joke, but I'm not, it hasn't come. It hasn't come. And anyway, if it was good, you'd just ignore it like you did my owl
If
joke.
you did a stealing joke, you'd probably be robbing it from someone else.
That was the joke, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that was good.
I've
That
got a
was good.
joke that I made up the other day. Do you want to hear it?
No, because you don't acknowledge my excellent jokes to
What country would you move to if you wanted a job for life?
don't know.
Korea. Korea.
Moving on. So Robin asks that he says I mentioned
Korea. Sorry.
your career's going south.
You could make a North Korea joke there. Except North Korea's not very funny, is it? Anyway, moving on.
South Korea.
Go on then. Oh, it's a bit
I just feel
hotter.
like, no. So Robin says, you mentioned on the podcast it takes 8 years to reach your running peak. Would love to hear more about that.
So would I.
Well, I've already peaked too soon. Yeah, so I mean, this is a theory. I don't think this is proven by science. It's a hard one to study, but this comes from someone I know who's a coach, a full-time coach with UK Athletics. So yeah, for decades he's worked with the best athletes in the country, and yeah, that was his, that were his that's his thought from studying, the top marathon runners in Britain over a couple of decades. So it's kind of, you could say that was anecdotal rather than scientific, but I think what it alludes to is that idea that our aerobic capacity takes years to optimize, and then it'll also lasts a long time as well. And hopefully that is reassuring rather than frustrating to people. But the sort of strength and speed is more easy come, easy go, and we have to keep it topped up. Whereas our aerobic side, yeah, takes years to maximize. That's the idea behind that, really. And of course, it is different for everyone. If you're injured, if you have gaps in those 8 years, it might take you 10 years if you had, spells out. And also people switch sports as well, which makes it really interesting. It probably didn't take me 8 years to have my best 2 or 3 years, because I was already, I suppose, playing football and hiking, mountaineering and stuff like that. So my running, I was, yeah, the running stuff came a bit more quickly to me, but it was still all aerobic stuff. Hopefully that answers your question, Robin.
When you say gaps, what do you mean?
Well, maybe like an injury gap, or some people take a bit of time off after a race. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but say someone's injured for 6 months, or for 6 months doesn't have consistent training, they're obviously not going to get to that sort of potential eight peak as quickly as someone who doesn't have a 6 month gap. That's what I meant.
That's interesting. I just feel like it's a bit flimsy, this theory. I do feel a bit flimsy, like it's flimsy. I don't want people to stick to it and think that they have to go for 8 years before they get to the point where they are, in inverted commas, good enough.
I think from a coaching perspective, it proves you must have a coach for 8 years
Right. So
to
you should
celebrate
sign up
it.
for an 8-year contract with your
Yes,
coach. Right. Is that what you make your athletes do?
yes, they all do
Right.
that. Yeah,
Okay.
So I'm glad we got that sorted. And he has another question, which is, he says, I said that it only takes you only need 2 to 3 weeks of race specific training needed to take place before a race. Would love to hear more about that too. And at the bottom, he says both these ideas seem very consistency orientated. So he has been listening. This is good. I think the idea there is that I think some athletes overdo the specificity. So it's like, I don't know, sign up for a big race, it's 6 months away, and oh shit, it's got big hills in it. I've got to get to the hills right away. And
Let's do a case study. Holly, don't listen to this bit. I'm signed up for the Dragon's Back race in September 2025. Last year, the year before that, I fucked it right up by running the length of the UK 5 weeks before. At what point do you think I should be going up to the Spiky Kingdom and doing those Spiky Kingdom type spikes?
personally, I don't want to step on Holly's
You're
feet
not.
because
I'm asking you to pretend I don't have Holly, and I'm not going to listen to your advice because I don't, because it's bad advice. But if I was one of your athletes, what would you do with me at the stage I'm at now?
So I would say don't go up there yet. The 6 to 8 weeks beforehand, and that's including like a 2 week taper, and then probably the 4 weeks before that 2 week taper, the absolute key time, the peak training and peak specificity, easy for me to say, training would be in that bit. And that's the key time to get. And it's more about conditioning than sort of almost aerobic fitness. It's all about muscular adaptation. So I would, if you can access the course or get to somewhere as soon as possible, that's where we do it. That is gonna, so strength stuff might only last sort of 4 weeks if we don't top it up. So that's the key time. If we went up and down big hills for 6 months, I guess this is the sort of stuff coaches debate a lot. But if you went up and down big hills for 6 months, would you just slow yourself down, or is that good training? or would you get injured? So most coaches, I believe, or the coaches I believe in and sort of trust, would say save it for nearer the event and go and do it then.
So, what would you say? Like, because I'm a big fan of a recce, and I am going to go and recce. There's bits of it I haven't done, and so I'm going to go and recce it. Would you say that that should be done at that point of specific bear at that point of specificity, or do you think that you should go and do the recces maybe like in the first 6 months of the block as like hikes, as like fun time hikes where you focus on where you're going, and you focus on nav, and you focus on all that stuff, then go back 4 weeks before to do your running up the hills thing?
So I'd say it's like for a lot of people, they'd only have like two or three windows where they might be able to go and visit a course.
Not for us lazy self-employed coaches, though. Oh no, we go whenever we want.
But I find with most of my athletes, they've got maybe a two option two windows and one of them and so it's not always in that ideal time. So it's still worth going, absolutely, I would say. Because some of the benefits are mental as well in terms of knowing you're on the route or just knowing what you're in for. But I would say if you're going there, so if you go up the Dragon's Back course this weekend, it's still useful, but you're not going to get the physical benefits you get from that won't last till race day. They're not wasted, they're just not as productive, if that makes sense. So I would still say to people, go and do it. But better still if you can do it in the 6 to 8 weeks before. And if I did say 2 to 3 weeks before, there's an interesting idea now, with muscular stuff, that first big run on the mountains is really good. So I think everyone must have done this, right? Like you don't do press ups for months and months, and then you do press ups one evening and you do 30 press ups, and the next day you're in bits and you can feel all the benefits, you can maybe even see them, and you go, great, wow. And then a few days later, you do more press ups and you don't feel sore the next day, and it hasn't seemed to have made the impact. And that's because that first dose was super useful and has really conditioned you well. And the ones after that are still useful, but they're not as much of a stimulus. If, does that make sense? Does that, have you ever done that with press
Press
ups?
ups. I've never done a press up, so no, I haven't. But I did go to the gym yesterday for the first time in 2 or 3 weeks, and there's a problem going up and down the stairs this morning.
What did you go on the leg press and your phantom
I'll
claims?
tell you what, I got to the leg press and I went and looked at it. I put this on my Instagram page. I got there and they had, I'm gonna tell you exactly what someone had left it fully racked. With 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 20, 280 kilograms on it. Look at
Yeah,
that.
sorry about that. Sorry about
I
that.
was like, what sort of absolute fucktard does that? It's like, and I said on my Instagram, it's like the equivalent of fucking jizzing on the seat. Like, why have you left it like that? If you're a big enough boy, and it was a boy, it was a man, to do that, then you're a big enough boy to take them off. Like it was ridiculous. Anyway, I got straight on 280 grams for 10 times 3 reps. No, I didn't do that, but I hadn't been for a while. So the fact that my glutes hurt this morning, I was actually a bit like, oh, this is still working. Because when I, because if I go very, very consistently, I don't feel anything. I just go and do my thing and then come out and it's all good. But yeah, I did feel a bit owie this morning. Thanks, Pete.
So there was a study done in America that shows you that that sort of I don't want to misrepresent it, but like almost one big day in the mountains gives you a good stimulus in your legs, a bit like you're saying there. So if you go back to the gym within the week, it won't double like when you go and do that again. It won't like have the same stimulus again because your legs have already been nicely conditioned from that. I hope I'm making sense. So I'm not saying one big day is enough, but
I do 1 day a week strength and conditioning, and that's enough. And I'd say that's enough because I know it's enough because it's made a massive difference to my running. And I wouldn't do any more than that. Before, I was doing 2 or 3 a week and I was just exhausting myself and nothing was really happening, I don't think, because I was exhausting myself. So my running was shitter because I was more tired. Whereas now I'm like doing one session, I'm doing a strength session, and then I think Holly's put some hills in this week once a week on a long run. And actually, that's enough. That's all you need. It's not like, you know, it's not like more is better, because more, a lot of the time, more isn't better, is it?
no, that, yeah, that, no, that is kind of what I'm saying. People can overdo the specificity, in
Specificity.
training. specifically speaking. Yes.
Specificity. Has that answered your question? Who was that person's
Robin.
name? Robin again. Is it Robin the running accountant? Is it him?
I'm not sure.
Oh. Right, everybody, there's one more thing I want to read out because this is a nice one. This is a nice message we've had from somebody, and so I'm reading it
Really?
out. Yes,
Did you write it yourself?
it's not for you. Hey, Ali, that's me. Loving the new podcast. Not the ones with Damien, though. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I just want to say how much I'm liking your chats about consistency and highlighting it doesn't mean the same thing or to run every day. I live with ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome after a tick bite 6 years ago, and I'm unable to train like a healthy, in inverted commas, person. Consistency has been the biggest piece in my recovery jigsaw. It took me 3 years of training to achieve my ultimate goal of the Lakeland 50 this year, 3 years of showing up, 3 years of resting more than running, but I did it. Thank you for highlighting how consistency can mean such different things to different people. Then she goes on to say thanks for the 15% off at Innovate, which you can find if you go to the Instagram page. That's from Rachel. And that's a nice message. And I think that's, we're coming to the end of this season. We've got how many episodes left? Three, four episodes left. So we'll be wrapping up the consistency stuff over the next four episodes. And we would love to hear your stories about how this podcast has helped you to be a little bit more consistent if you've been following in real time, please. And you can email them to us, runningwontsaveyoupod@gmail.com, or DM us on Instagram, or send DMs to my personal Instagram, or just send DMs to Damien's personal Instagram. But if you're going to do
Don't do
that,
that.
please do make sure they contain insults. Also, our 10th episode is going to be an interview with a master, someone who I believe is master of consistency and is one of my heroes. It's going to be quite awkward and embarrassing to record, and that person is Brad Stolberg. So Brad Stolberg has written two books, one that I love. One is The Practice of Groundedness, and the other one is called Master of Change. And in those books, he talks about pillars and theories that support growth and sustainable excellence, which is something he talks about a lot. And he is very focused on this idea of consistency over heroic effort. So we've got Brad doing the interview on the last episode of this season. If you've got a question for Brad Stolberg, please DM them to me or email them to me and I'll put something up on the grid. But this is your opportunity to talk to someone who is, like, as I say, a master of this sort of stuff and has all the answers. And he hasn't done any UK podcasts, I don't think. So this is a really big opportunity for you to get your questions answered by Brad. Exciting, isn't it, Damien?
Does that mean I get a week off?
No, but it does mean I think you're actually going to be in my house when I'm interviewing him.
What?
Yeah, so please, can you just try and stay in a different room? Because I know that you'll be excited as well by Brad. I love Brad. What are you doing for the rest of the week?
I go to Edel. I'm doing 2 days as part of the Spine Media team, and then I'm running a test run of the Sprint North, which is a new race they're launching, which is basically the end of the course from Bellingham, last 40 miles ish, which is actually makes loads of sense because kind of the last bit of the race is kind of the best bit. But normally, when you've done the whole thing, or even the Challenger North, you're shattered by that point and probably quite want it to be over. So it's a really nice way to enjoy the Cheviot Hills.
What, so when do you know when that's going to run? Like in so if you think about the race, so the sprints and everything starts on Saturday and then the actual race starts on Sunday, and Challenger North and Challenger, what day does
Tuesday,
Challenger North start?
Monday,
So will the Sprint North start on the Monday as well?
Tuesday.
The Tuesday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So are you going to have people, is there a chance that the Sprint North people could be finishing at the same time as the elite spine finishes?
No, that's Wednesday.
No, I'm talking about on the actual event when this actually comes into fruition. Because I can't think of anything worse than being like at the front of that, like you coming in to get home and some prick running past you because they're on the fucking Sprint North and licking the wall before you get to lick it.
I think they have planned it so that hopefully that doesn't happen. It's not licking, it's a carefully practiced snog
Oh, that's
of a
disgusting.
wall.
It's licking the wall.
I mean, it's a little unresponsive, I'll be honest.
What, the wall? I was going to say, you should be used to that, but then I realized it reflected badly on me, so I'm not going to.
Awkward cough. So I'm doing that on the Tuesday.
Cool! What time does it start?
12.
Oh, for God's sake. How long do you reckon it's going to take you?
Oh, I haven't really thought. I mean, as long as basically I'll get to Kirk your turn before John and before Jack. So, I mean, I'm the winner.
That's what the problem with this fucking Spy North sprint thing is going to be. Blokes with tans licking the wall, putting it on their Facebook page, their profile picture, like they've just fucking done the spine. I think they get the same medal as well.
It's not a lick,
Boom.
it's a snog.
Okay, well, have a nice time. I mean, I'll be there as well, having a nice time. Good luck to everybody. We love you all, especially my gal pals. And see you next week. Bye.
Bye.